Okay, it's July the 4th today, so for those of you in the United States, happy 4th of July. It's a Monday, and this is Bill Ward doing another audio diary for those of you who are checking in with this. And I'm going to be trying to do a diary each week or around about each week while we're on tour, that is to say, while Bacellus on tour. So I'm just checking in every once in a while, and like I said, like I guess nearly every other week, every week, and I'll get this right in a minute. just to give you kind of an update of behind the scenes things that have been going on. The current time right now is about 10:40 p.m. In Stockholm, and my wife and I have just come back from trying to find a vegan dinner, and we did find a place, and to be polite to those people, I won't tell you the name of the place, but tonight we weren't able to find a very good restaurant tonight that serves vegan food. It's quite difficult trying to find vegan food, you know, anywhere really. So, but just for people on a vegan note, just for people that are going to Stockholm and have never been here before that might be vegan, then there are a number of really good vegan restaurants in the town. Today we got actually. We just got really lucky earlier today, because we actually came across a place that served a vegan dish, and it was incredible. It was really, really good. And I've also forgotten the name of that restaurant too, so I think if you're coming here to Stockholm, then there are some places that are that you can find online, but also literally just walking around the main squares or the main areas here in central Stockholm, you know, but just by checking out the what's on the menus of the local cafes. It's surprising, actually, that they have vegetarian dishes, and they actually have vegan dishes too. So it's definitely lots of carrots for Stockholm. They're definitely one of the better cities to find good vegan food. We've been really fortunate, I think, and the very fact that we're staying in Stockholm for a few days and kind of hobbing out of Stockholm and going to some of the other Scandinavian countries, I feel we're in a real good city here. Stockholm is absolutely incredible place if you've never been here, and with incredible beauty, and you know, really, really nice people, you know, there's a lot of health food shops here. So it's good for people that are, you know, either vegetarian or vegan. And I'm just saying that for the souls out there that do find difficulty in finding food when they're in foreign countries. And it can be tiresome, and it can be tedious, and can be hard work at times. So I just wanted to mention that, and I'll shut up. I just want to mention one other thing about vegan. If you are in Nice, in the south of France, there is a great vegan restaurant. It's called the Speakeasy. It's run by an American lady who now works in France. And she has a great restaurant in central Nice. It's about a 10-minute walk from the actual coastline. Nice has a stone beach. It doesn't actually have a sandy beach. But it's about 10 minutes inland from the water. And it's called the Speakeasy. And I think you can locate it easily in the phone book, I'm sure. So. And that's a strictly vegan restaurant, and so it's great if anybody's heading that way and needs a reference, then go there. It's a very tiny place, homemade dishes. However, the food is extremely well prepared, and it's it's limited in the menu, but it's a really good dinner, you know, so it's really, really well put together. So I wanted to mention that place. Excuse me. Okay, moving on. We've had a fabulous week. I think the Stabs have been totally on form this week. I forget where we were actually last Saturday, which is, well, that's just, I guess, just me being on tour right now. I tend to be forgetful, I guess, not being able to remember where, you know, kind of what was in, you know, the last city. And now I'm trying to think where we were last Saturday. And I don't have my itinerary in front of me either. But, anyway, I don't know if in the last audio diary, I'm not sure if we talked about, I don't know if we talked about the trip to Sofia in Bulgaria, but I wanted to touch on that. We actually, the band has never played, there's two gigs where the band has never played before. One was Athens, where, the, you know, even though everybody might have gone there as individuals, Black Sabbath, the original band, has never played in Athens, and it did, I think about 10 days ago or so. And then we also played Sofia in Bulgaria. And both of those gigs, the audiences were absolutely incredible. They totally rocked. In fact, all of the audiences that we played in front of, because we played in Denmark on Friday at the Roskilde Festival, and the audience was absolutely amazing. And we played in Stockholm last night, and the audience was absolutely amazing in Stockholm. The European audiences are just overwhelmingly so enthusiastic, and they totally rock. I mean, they totally love hard rock or metal, and, you know, I'm sure they liked a lot of other music too, but, you know, because, you know, just, I only see from a Sabbath point of view, obviously, and the shows of the shows, I think the band has played very well. I think everybody's doing great in the band, and the audiences, my hats off to the audiences, have been absolutely fantastic. And Sofia was, the reason why I wanted to talk a little bit about Sofia is because we played in a stadium, kind of an open-air stadium there, and it was, I don't know, after we played the gig, I felt a little bit depressed, and I shared with the guys, I couldn't understand why I felt a little bit down, you know, and I don't know, there was something about playing Sofia, I somehow found some reserve energy, and I questioned where that reserve energy had come from. I wanted to play more, be more determined. And I don't mean to put an exclusivity on my playing because it was Sofia. You know, I try to play as well as I can at each concert that we play, and I like to try and leave the stage exhausted, you know, knowing that I've tried to do the very best that I can. That's my goal at the end of each show, but I don't know in... Sofia is an undeveloped country in the sense that there's a lot of repair work to go on there, both, I'm sure, both physically in the nature of the roads and the buildings and the general structure of the country, and also, I'm sure, emotionally as well. It's my understanding, and I hope I'm not quoting this wrong, but it's my understanding it's only been in the last 3 years that a door has opened up where rock and roll, is allowed to go in there and start to, you know, nest in Bulgaria, you know, and kind of take its place in that country. If I'm wrong, then I'm sure somebody in the chat rooms will remind me that I'm wrong on that one, but. I think, first of all, number one, I think it's fantastic that rock and roll bands, and I call it rock and roll, I know a lot of people will call it heavy metal or rock or hard rock, you know, it's just that I'm 57 years old now, so for me, you know, it's all about rock and roll. So, You know, you have to excuse my terminology sometimes, it becomes confusing. But I think, first of all, fantastic that Bulgaria is allowing, or has given itself the opportunity to allow rock music into its country. And there is an incredibly large rock audience there in Bulgaria. And I don't know, I'm not that enlightened as to how many other metal bands or hard rock bands have gone into Bulgaria during the course of the last 3 or 4 years. But if there are bands that haven't been there yet, then, you know, then I would strongly encourage you to go, because the audience is just absolutely fanatical there, just absolutely fucking crazy about hard rock music, and it just makes my heart warm on the inside, and I wanted to especially take time out to mention Sofia, in the sense that, you know, it's only been in recent years that Bulgaria itself has been able to grow out of the restraints, or if you like, economic restraints, political restraints that it's been tied to for such a long time, and to see a country getting back on its feet slowly but surely, and to have hard rock music going in there, it's quite surprising, to be honest with you. And I think that was part of the reason why I felt depressed after the concert, you know, and maybe it's where that reserve energy came from. It was just like, you know, I'm not fond of places that are not freedom-minded countries, and especially, and I'm saying that in reference to music, in the sense of allowing all music to be performed in the countries. So I think there's, you know, the rebel inside me was able to find extra energy to say, yeah, you know, yeah, Sabbath is here, and I'm going to play my fucking ass off, because, you know, this is what it's about. It's about bringing the music to the people, and hopefully that they can enjoy it, and it's really important to have that in a country that's, you know, like I said before, that felt some cultural disasters, I guess, to say the least, I'm saying it politely, you know. But so I'm really glad that Sabbath went there, and I wanted to touch on that. I'm going to move on from Sofia, and again thank all the fans in Sofia and Athens. They were just absolutely incredible in both places, and we had a great time. I'd like to talk a little bit about Prague as well. I don't know if I mentioned the gig in Vienna. I know I'm jumping from city to country to country. But Vienna was an incredible gig for us as well. I thoroughly enjoyed playing in Vienna. I felt inspired that there were so many musicians that have come from Vienna in the sense of its classical past. And I don't know, I just felt somewhat inspired, I guess, somehow, to really try to play a good show, you know. And I remember that happening. And if I remember rightly, we had a really, really good show in Vienna. I also not missing any gigs. I know I'm talking about a number of different countries now, so I hope I'm not going to miss anybody. And if I do, then, you know, it's just me, you know, and sometimes I do forget. So, going back to Prague, we played in a really nice arena. The place is absolutely packed. But the big surprise was before we went on stage, our assistant tour manager, John B, announced it's pretty warm up there, guys, in a nonchalant Boston accent. And he wasn't fucking kidding. We go onto the stage, and I immediately strip down. I mean, I'm usually stripped down anyway, you know, when I play. But it was so hot at that gig. It was just unbelievable. It was unbearably hot. By the time we got to the first song, the sweat was pouring out of me. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And we played for 90 minutes in this heat, which was, I have a heat, like a thermometer thing, a thermometer gauge on my drum kit, or on my rig, as I call it. On there, apparently, it got to 95 degrees. I think it was hotter than that, you know, but it was 95. It was showing 95 on the, inside the hall, inside the, and on my pod, on my rig, it was 95. So it gives you some idea, you know. And when you're playing for an hour and a half and you're busting your balls and, you know, trying to make it work, in 95 degree heat, it's, you're going to sweat. We had an incredible time. Prague was it's a great city, first of all, and the great people in Prague. And we just thoroughly enjoyed the gig. You know, it was a great gig, really, really good. And one of the beauties, of course, with rock and roll is you never know what's going to happen next. And our very next gig after that was Roskilde on last Friday in Denmark. And it was freezing cold. It was so cold on the stage. We went on, I think, about 10 o'clock at night. I think it was something like that. And it had been a really beautifully warm afternoon. But by the time the Stabs got onto the stage, it was the complete opposite. The total opposite of the gig in Prague. And I just thought it was amusing. I'm just tickled to think, you know, by that. It's just amusing to have to go through these different cultures or these different, you know, these different heat things. And so, you know, of course, also with the change to temperature, you want to have to be really careful coming off stage, and especially when you're sweating, and, you know, it's such a cold gig, you got to keep yourself wrapped up warm, and, you know, you have to really take a lot of precautions. Otherwise, you know, you get sick. And there's been a few little problems, which I'm not going to go into detail on in a public forum. But there's been one or two things, you know, where we're having to call the doctor and get some things sorted out. With the heat and the, you know, with the cold weather and, you know, the different extreme climates that we've been going through throughout Europe. So, but everybody's in great shape. The band's fantastic, and everything's very cool, at least right now, this evening from Stockholm. And Denmark was just, again, it was just absolutely incredible. It was, I can't even put words to it, actually. It was overwhelmingly incredible. It's the only way that I can describe it. And really cold on the stage. But that's the way that it is. And after Friday's gig in Denmark, we played last night in Stockholm at the Globe Theatre. I've been there for some time now, the Globe, and it's not, the Sabbath Sabbath has played that concert a number of times, and it was a great crowd. I don't know what to say, you know. I feel so fortunate to be able to play in a band like Black Sabbath, and to play in front of the people that we do is just, for me, I'm just blown away. It's a total privilege. There's no question about it. And you know, I'm being really honest about this. I'm not trying to blow smoke or, you know, trying to mind fuck anybody. You know, I'm just speaking from my heart, you know, and that's the way I feel about it. And it's just incredible, the way that the shows have been. Let me see. Just wanted to bring up a couple of things. I've spoken to a number of the fans, in Stockholm, a number of them, probably about 50, that have kind of been in and out of the band hotel area where we're staying. And just to bring up one point regarding the ticket sales for Stockholm, I know that some of the people they went to stuff, but they had a tough time obtaining tickets to get to the Stockholm gig. Now, I don't know if the same applies to Helsinki. Between, kind of geographic thing for a second, between Stockholm and Helsinki, there are some very large islands where heavy metal fans live. And, you know, it's not always easy for them to transport themselves to, you know, either Sweden or Finland. You know, in the Nordic countries here, for those of you who are not necessarily familiar with it, there are a lot of islands, and where people inhabit these islands, there's a tremendous amount of water up here, and there's also a tremendous amount of people population up here, too. So it's a very different part of the world in the sense of how people live and how the shape of things are. And getting to a concert is, my hat's off to the people that are able to come off these islands and actually either get to Finland or travel by boat down to Sweden and attend the concert. So more power to them, and, you know, but what they were talking about was the fact that there was, the tickets went on sale, and they were available on the internet, and they pretty much sold out within 20 minutes. And so there was no other availability, there wasn't enough purchasing time for some of the ticket holders, for some of the non-ticket holders. I don't know whether it was just internet related or whether there were other ways of purchasing tickets. It's food for thought. It's something that I'd like to put into an open forum and just kind of like wonder if there are people who are having problems purchasing tickets in Scandinavian countries, and just seeing if anything different could come from that in the way that one purchases a ticket either through internet. Or, you know, if there's Ticketons, or if there's other outlets where people can, you know, buy their tickets in advance, basically to avoid scalpers. Because people that I spoke to, most of them got their tickets at three or four times the price of the ticket through the scalpers. So just a little bit of information there behind the scenes of the gig, in the sense of, you know, the public buying their tickets and, you know, some of the problems that they went through. And I'm not saying that everybody went through that, but just talking to a few individuals, I thought it was an interesting topic to bring to the diary this week. And to be honest with you, from a personal point of view, it bothers me that people, you know, who come to listen to us are, you know, overcharged, and, you know, that they are having to pay, you know, four times the asking price or three times or double the asking price. I don't feel good about, you know, hearing about stuff like that from my own personal point of view, even though I don't have any personal control or have any personal dealings with how the ticket sales are go. Or how they work, I have no say in that whatsoever. But at the same time, you know, at least I can say something in the sense of standing up and saying, hey, you know, there's a few people here that definitely were not able to get tickets. Not everybody has a computer, you know. So I'm just bringing it up, from the very slight information that I had. Or was given during the conversations that I've had with people this week, who have said, you know, that they had real problems trying to obtain tickets for the show. So, and apparently on the internet, apparently it went in 20 minutes. So, and you know, I mean, which that's great in one sense. I mean, that's like great, you know, wow, you know, Sabbath is selling out, you know, and selling out all their gigs and everything. In that sense, from a business point of view, that's real good, but. For people that can't see the show, then that needs to be taken into consideration as well. So, often for obvious reasons. And I just want to bring that up, okay? Just I'm being very neutral about it. And I just want to bring it up as a topic and see if anybody has any views on that. We're off to Helsinki tomorrow. I'm so fucking looking forward to the gig. I am just totally on right now. I can't wait to play. I'm ready to go. So we're off to Helsinki. And then I think Helsinki actually might be... you know what? I'm not sure, but I think Helsinki might be another gig where it's the first time the original band sort of played. I could be wrong on that one. In fact, I'm probably wrong on that one. I'm sure that sometime in the past, Black Sabbath has probably played Helsinki. And I believe the original band has played Oslo as well. But you know what? I'm not exactly sure, so maybe somebody could figure that out, you know. We definitely play gigs on this European tour where we had never played before as the original band. So, and then we play in Bergen as well in Norway. We're playing Oslo. We got three more gigs: Helsinki, Oslo, and Bergen. And I don't remember at all playing Bergen in Norway before. But I'm sure somebody somewhere would know the answer to that. So. And if they do, tell me. Post a note on my website and let me know. Because I'd like to know anyway, just for information purposes, you know. So we're coming to the end, I guess, of our European. Three more concerts come to the end of the European leg, if you like, of the first tours. And then in the first part of next week. July, what would that be? July 10th, 11th, 12th or so. We're going to be heading out to Boston, Massachusetts, United States, and then we'll start production rehearsals for Ozfest. So, which is a whole another story, and one that I'm definitely looking forward to. Definitely looking forward to playing in front of the fantastic US audiences. Just blow me away every time. US audiences are absolutely incredible. So far, it's been absolutely great here in Europe. We're having a good time. Wish you were here. And hey, talking of that, what about Pink Floyd at Live 8? Man, I thought Pink Floyd were incredible. And with Roger Waters as well. That was a trip, seeing Roger Waters with Pink. Yeah, we saw them. You know, we didn't get to see a lot because we played the gig here in Stockholm, and so by the time we were getting back, you know, we were just seeing the very end of the Hyde Park show, and that was being televised here in Sweden. So, but we got to see a little bit of Pink Floyd, and we got to see Paul McCartney at the end of the show, so which was nice. So. He's always fantastic. He's always great, you know. Let me see. Anything else right now? I hope everybody out there is having a good day. I hope everybody's out there is taking care of themselves. And you know what? I think that's about it. It's nearly 11:10 p.m. On Monday night here in Sweden. And it's the land of the midnight sun. So, as in that brilliant song by Led Zeppelin. what album that was? Yeah, great song, Led Zeppelin, great band. And it's still light. That's the point I want to make. I'm still talking here about Zeppelin, and it's still light up here right now. It'll get a little bit dark, but it starts getting light about 3 o'clock in the morning, so there's only about 3 hours of kind of, I don't even know, you could actually call it pitch black, 3 hours of kind of twilight, and then it starts to get sunny again, so that's what it's like in these northern countries, and it's absolutely incredible, fantastic. I'm experiencing life, and I'm glad to be above ground. Place your head upon whatever you've been chosen to call bed, and I'm going to sign off. Okay, well, I'll check in with you probably next time I check in. I'll probably be in Boston, so I'll just call you from the States. Okay, that's it. Thanks. Bye.